when you see me here this morning with this subject, the Chinese New Year of the dog, you know, of course, that Chinese New Year is now very near. 2018 brings us to the Year of the Dog. You are not the first one to listen to this study. Last week, I was at Butterworth Gospel Hall, and I gave the first study on this series, The New Year of the Dog. Today, it is your turn. And next week, after Chinese New Year, it will be at Burma Road Gospel Hall, followed by a rest week. I need to have a rest after 3 weeks of the dog. Then I go to Sungai Ara and Bukit Mertajam. And there are two assemblies privileged enough to listen to the dog twice. First is Butterworth, and the second one is Allen Glades. I'll come back to you on the 15th of April for the second part of the Chinese New Year of the dog. Of course, it would not be Chinese New Year anymore. It may be April Fool's Year because it's April. Well, whatever it is, it does not matter because we are not interested in the Chinese New Year per se, but we are interested in the dog that we want to study in the scriptures. And therefore, we come on to the Bible study. It is a Bible study, and it is a study on the word dog as it appears in the scriptures. So in order to do that, we need to understand the concept and compare this word dog with other things, other texts in the Bible, so that we may have a better understanding of the dog. Well, 16 February, Chinese New Year, and of course, most of the Chinese will be celebrating it as the New Year. And the media, the newspapers, will be publishing a lot of forecasts, what kind of person you are going to be this year, what fortune you are going to have, and so on and so forth. Right. So, for example, give you one instance. People born in the Year of the Dog, I'm not sure how many of you are here. Well, let me not ask for show of hands, but you know you are a dog. And if you are a dog, says this horoscope, you are usually independent, sincere, loyal, decisive, according to Chinese zodiac analysis. They are not afraid of difficulties in daily life. These shining characteristics make them have harmonious relationship with people around. I hope you are that kind of person. And your strength is you are valiant, loyal, responsible, clever, courageous, and lively. Your weaknesses, say very sensitive. I say something wrong, you remember me, I don't know how long. Conservative, stubborn, emotional. Well, that's what you are, but we don't bother much. That's what the horoscopes say. That's what the stars say. We do not bother. We are interested in what the Bible says. The dog is highly respected by man and has a brilliant record of valiant service to him. The dog is regarded as man's best friend, as many of you know, and numerous stories refer to his faithfulness and loyalty. We have no time to go into all these stories, but many of you, I notice, go to Facebook, and when you open up Facebook, you see a lot of stories being told about animals, especially the dog. And I know one or two of you here whose favorite is the dog and who cannot be straight away from your interest in the dog. I don't want to mention names, but you are very, 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 very interested in the dog. So, I must introduce you to this dog, man's good friend. And it says that if a dog comes into your house this year, you have good luck. Well, I hope you have. Sometimes I have had dogs that have come to my house, into my garden, and have given me more work because it laid a lot of deposits in my garden. Well, many of us keep and love our pet dogs. And I'm sure because of you regard the dog as the man's best friend. I also have dogs. I keep my own, I have the dog as my profile picture in my ruminations. And some of you who have read my ruminations in Facebook would have seen this picture of myself with the dog, because I like dogs myself. All right, so in case I do not have time, because this study is going to be a very long study, that's why I'm going a bit fast in my speech. But because it's such a long study and I may not be able to complete it, I'm wishing all of you here a blessed, prosperous Chinese New Year first. And that comes from me, my wife, and family. This is in case I do not finish. Then I will carry on with part two. Okay, now let's go into the study of the dog. Remember this, I am not like the horoscope or fortune teller trying to tell your fortune for this year. No, not at all. What I'm doing is to help you, to encourage you to study the word dog as it appears in the Bible. So firstly, there are concepts and comparisons. While we are interested in this study, there are people who are afraid of the dog. There are some religious groups would not even have cast their eyes upon the picture of a dog. So much so that even in the zodiac signs, there are 12 animals, and I have been speaking about these 12 animals for all the past years. Among them, of course, are the dog. And next year, we have the pig. And some of these groups condemn the picture of the dog and the pig because to them, they are cursed. And we find that even in business, when the commercial firms want to sell their T-shirts with the zodiac animal signs on the T-shirt, you find that when it comes to the dog and the pig, there are no pictures there. No pictures there. Because they are afraid of touching the sensitivities of these groups of people. Okay, never mind about that. We are not bothered about that, whether they are going to be cursed by these symbols or not. We are not going to be bothered. But we are going to bother ourselves with the study of the word dog in the scriptures. So, in case I misunderstood, my purpose in speaking on the year of the dog is to seize the opportunity, because this is a time when people think about dogs, especially the Chinese. They think about the dog. So I take this opportunity to study the dog in the scriptures with all of you. I'm very, very, very sure that nobody bothers to study the dog on his own or on her own. So this is the opportunity I'm taking to study the word dog in the Bible with you. So I'm not into astrological studies, horoscope forecast, and so on. Please remember that, because these are condemned by the Lord in the scriptures. These are regarded as abominations. So we should not deal with them. Now, what has the Bible to declare about the dog? Unfortunately, for those born in the year of the dog, mostly bad. Whenever the dog appears, it is bad. But there's one case when it's good. I'll tell you about that later on. So, why do I do these studies on the dog? First and foremost, I started these studies of the Chinese New Year animals. Well, this year is 2018. I started it in 1983. Since 1983 until now, that will be 36 years already. Near 36 years already, I have been studying every year, every animal in the 12 animals in the zodiac. So those of you who were with me since 1983, have a show of hands who still remembered my first topic, my first study on the year of the pig? You are not a pig. All right, never mind. You will not have heard of it. But this is a third cycle. And that means that this year I will finish completely my three cycles already. So I have the rest of the year to decide whether I shall continue with the year of the animal, next year the pig, again next year to start the fourth cycle. I'm not sure. I'll wait upon the Lord to see whether I should continue, because some people are also very tired of so many animal studies already. However, I may continue because in the year 2010, I started these studies by using PowerPoint illustrations. All the previous studies, or all the studies prior to that, were all done in speech and note form. No PowerPoint presentation, no pictures, nothing to illustrate what I was trying to say. But from 2010 onwards, I did for every animal, beginning with a tiger. So if I continue to have this series to complete my studies in PowerPoint, then I need to carry on with at least to the pig, the rat, and the ox before I come to the completion of the studies in PowerPoint. But anyway, those of you who are interested in these studies, they are all on my website, all there. All right. We have no time, so we must hurry on. Let's start this study of the dog. The concepts attached to the dog. The occurrences. I'm very interested in doing any Bible study, always to look at the first occurrence of the word and the last occurrence of the word. The first occurrence of the word will give us an idea of its basic root concept, what it actually is. The last occurrence of the word will tell us of how it develops over the period and what it is at the last stage. Now, I'm going quite fast. Those of you who are taking notes, don't. I suggest that you go to my website. All the notes are there, including this PowerPoint. The dog is translated from the Hebrew word Caleb, and that's where we have the name Caleb, Caleb and Joshua. Caleb was a dog. And the Greek is kuon, and it occurs 15 times in 15 verses. The plural dogs occur 24 times in 23 verses. Now, the first occurrence of the word dog is very interesting. It is found in Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7. And that was in connection with the Passover lamb, when the Lord would strike the firstborn of the Egyptians dead. And the wonderful part was this. When the Passover angel of death would come over Egypt and strike the firstborn dead, before that, all the dogs in Egypt would bark. But the dogs in Egypt, in Israel, would not bark because God controlled the dogs in Israel. They would not bark. You can find that, Exodus 11 and verse 7. In the New Testament, there's no first occurrence or last occurrence because it occurs only one time. In 2 Peter 2:22, where we read that the dog goes back to its own vomit. We shall explain that as we go on to save time. The last occurrence in the Old Testament is Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 4. And it says, all the living, says Solomon, all the living have hope, just like a living dog and not a dead lion. A lion may be very strong, but if it is dead, what's the point? All right. Then the word dogs in plural occur first time in Exodus 22:31, where we are told that if any animal is found dead, then the flesh should be thrown to the field, to the dogs. Then in the New Testament, it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, do not give any sacred or holy things to the dogs, because they don't appreciate it. We shall be talking about that as we go on later. The last occurrence in the Old Testament is Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 3, where God says, I will punish my people with these four things. I will use the sword to slay them, I will use the dog to tear them, and I will use the birds in the air and the beasts in the field to devour and destroy them, because they have gone against me. And these are my judgments that I will bring upon them. That was the last occurrence of the word dog in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it is Revelation 22:15 where it stated that outside the city wall of Jerusalem, the heavenly city, the dogs will be there. The sorcerers, the murderers, the fornicators, the sinners, all will be there. They are not allowed to go into the city wall, through the city wall into the city. All right, that's the occurrences of the word dog or dogs. The occasions, how are they used? The word dog used in the natural sense refer to the dogs that are very savage, vicious, vile. They are street walkers and scavengers as well. See how they are used. For example, Luke 16:21, we find dogs would come to lick the sores of Lazarus, who was lying outside the gate of the rich man. We also find that dogs licked up Ahab's blood when he was killed in the battle. And the blood splattered all over in the chariot. The dogs came after that to lick up the blood. We also find that Jezebel, who was thrown out from the tower onto the floor, and then Joab came along and said, Jehu came along and said, a king's daughter must be buried. And when he sent his men to bury Jezebel, it was found that Jezebel was there, lying there, all ripped up, the flesh all ripped up by the dogs. So you find that the dogs are vicious, vile, and they eat flesh. Right. That's Jezebel after having fallen from the tower, from the tower above to the floor, having been pushed over by the eunuchs, and then she fell down and her flesh was ripped and eaten up by the dogs. Right. That's the savageness and the vileness of the dog. Now, the dog used in the metaphorical sense. In other words, the dog, not as a dog, the dog to represent somebody else. It's called a euphemism. In other words, it is used to say something which can be very coarse in a very polite way. For example, it is used for a male prostitute. And a male prostitute is not described as a male prostitute, but a dog. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 18 says this, that money that was collected or earned by the dog must not be used to fund the activities of the temple or service, be used in the service of the Lord. Now, these dogs are actually male prostitutes, because in association with these dogs in Deuteronomy 23:18, before that, it says the money earned by the whores, the prostitutes, the female prostitutes, and the dogs cannot be used for the Lord's work. Gives us a very important principle that when we do the work of the Lord, much as we need money and funds, let us not take money from those who know not the Lord, especially from those that we know are doing a lot of corruption. These are people who do not love the Lord. If they love the Lord, they will not be involved themselves in corruption. And that money given to the Lord to worship Him is indeed fruitless, as we shall see later on too. Next, Goliath, when he saw David coming to him with a stave and stones, said, "What? You come to fight me like this? You think I'm a dogger?" 1 Samuel 17:42-43. David himself was very insulted when he had a chance to kill Saul, but he did not, and he challenged Saul, "Why are you chasing me like this? You think I'm a dead dog? Is it worth all your effort to chase me like this? I'm not worthy to be chased like that. Why do you want to kill me? I'm a dead dog to you." Surprisingly, later, Saul's grandson, Mephibosheth, who was crippled, was invited by David to his table, you know the story, and to sup with him. And he said, "Oh, Your Majesty, I'm not worthy to sit at table with you because I'm a dead dog." "Why?" "Because I'm unworthy. My grandfather tried to kill you, but I'm crippled. I cannot even be of service, yet you want me to be at the king's table. I'm a dead dog." Dead dog, yes. It was the grace and the mercy of David that Mephibosheth was invited. Then we find that the Lord denounced those who could not discern things sacred as dogs. "Cast not pearl before swine. Do not throw holy things to the dogs." Matthew 7 and verse 6. And so you'll find that the word dog has a lot of lessons to teach us. Let's go on. Paul also referred to dogs. In Philippians 3:2, he said, "All those people, the Judaizers, who wanted the Jews who had become Christians to go back to Judaism, to keep the Sabbath, to be circumcised, they are like dogs." They are dogs. To want us to go back to the old ways again. Christians, who, so-called Christians, not Christians, not true Christians, not born-again Christians, so-called Christians, professing Christians, who claim to be Christians, then go back and apostatize and say they are no more Christians and so on, they are dogs. Why are they dogs? They are dogs that go back to their vomit. And how vile it can be. You know, of course, how a dog vomits out, and after having vomited out, then it goes away. Then after some time, it comes back to lick up its own vomit. The person who has professed to be Christian and later on leaves Christianity and goes back to his own state is like a dog returning to its own vomit. This is the disdain that the Lord casts upon those people who profess Christianity and yet are not. They are apostates. Those who do the commandments of God have the right to the tree of life. Those who do not are dogs as others, and they will be waiting outside the city wall in Revelation chapter 22. So you'll find the dogs being used metaphorically to refer to people who are not well accepted by the Lord. Now, there are some odd texts which are quite interesting. The word dog is also associated with another animal. And here we see the mention of dogs and pigs together. Dogs and pigs, they are together. For example, Matthew 7:6, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs." Or as the King James Version says, "Do not cast pearls before swine." Because they don't appreciate it. What's the point wasting so much time on all this? They don't appreciate. There are others who really need. Go to them. A dog returned to its vomit. A sow to her wallowing in the mud. What I said just now. So we won't touch on that. Whoever offers a lamb is like one who breaks a dog's neck. Whoever makes a grain offering is like one who presents pig's blood. In the context of Isaiah chapter 66, it refers to people who in name and by their lips profess to sacrifice to God, bring sacrifices to the Lord. They bring a lamb. But when they bring that lamb as a sacrifice to God, with their heart away from God, with only their lips saying, "Oh, we give this as sacrifice to you, to the Lord," it's like breaking a dog's neck. What does it mean to break a dog's neck? Exodus 13:13, 34:20 will give us the background. Exodus 13 is in connection with the Passover. And the Lord said, "All firstborn belong to me." Therefore, as in the case of Pharaoh, all the firstborn in Egypt were killed. As for Israel, all their firstborn must be redeemed. by the sacrifice of a lamb, including the firstborn of animals. To Israel, the ass, the donkey, is a very useful animal. And perhaps they do not want to sacrifice it to the Lord. They can, but they must redeem the donkey. How to redeem the donkey? Bring along a lamb. Let a lamb die in place of the donkey. But if you refuse to redeem the donkey, then you will break the neck of the donkey. If you do not want to render to God what you have for God's use, the firstborn and the best for God's use, that which you want to preserve for yourself cannot be used for yourself. Kill it. That very donkey break its neck because you refuse to redeem it unto the Lord. This is the seriousness of giving to the Lord. And so we find that when we give to the Lord in name, without the heart in it, it's just like breaking the dog's neck. Whoever makes a grain offering, like one who presents pig's blood, unclean. All right? It's the same principle. Interestingly, this year is the year of the dog. And next year is the year of the pig. And so we find the dog and the pig being put together for this year and next year. So this year, blessed New Year, Chinese New Year of the dog to you. Next year in advance, blessed Chinese New Year of the pig to you. Right. Another interesting thing in the study of the dog is the dung. You know, Philippians 3:8, it says, Paul says, that I'm prepared to give up all things that I may know Christ, that I count all things but dung. What is this dung here? What is this dung? Or in your NIV, rubbish. Now, it is the Greek word skubalon, and skubalon in Greek means refuse, ogier, dung. That's why it's called dung in the King James Version. It's dung. It is solid feces. Not only feces, solid excreta. That's what it is. Paul's resolve in life was to win and know Christ. And if there's anything that hampers him in his relationship to the Lord, that must be thrown away as rubbish, dog's dung. To do this, he regarded all things gained as loss and as rubbish if they hampered him in his relationship with the Lord. All right? He must discard them. So in this year of the dog is hope. And we pray that we may not allow anything that come into our lives, but let them be discarded as rubbish, that we may win Christ. Let this be our New Year resolution, if we have not made one or do not know how to make one. Like Paul, we may say, I resolve. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, locked down, to be thrown to the dogs, that I may gain Christ. May this be our resolution for this year, 2018, the year of the dog. Now, while we're talking about dog's tongue, a word associated with the dog, we would like also, before we pass over the dog, to another word connected with the dog. And that is the diminutive of the word dog, which is kunarion, for kuon, dog, and which means a pet dog. A minutive means a mini dog, a puppy, a pet dog. Those of you who managed to see my rumination in Facebook this morning or since yesterday would have seen my reference to the coming, not only the year of the dog, but on the that would be the 16th. On the 14th is Valentine's Day. So I refer to the year of the dog, the dog. Valentine's Day, puppy love. And I exhorted people not to be interested in puppy love on Valentine's Day, but rather on eternal love on Divine Day. And that's what it is. We are diminutive dogs, pet dogs, puppies, so to speak. You know the story very well. A woman went to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, please heal my daughter. My daughter is possessed. And the Lord said, I am sent to the lost of Israel. You are a Gentile. My first priority is to give bread to the children at the table. She, in great faith, said, Lord, it's true, you give bread to the children at the table. But sometimes when the children eat, some of the pieces of bread or crumbs fall from the table onto the floor. Please give me those crumbs. And in a way, we are Gentiles. We are having the crumbs from the bread that was given to the children. Because the Lord first went to the Jews. Romans 1:16, very clear. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it was first preached unto the Jews and then to the Gentiles we. All right? That's Romans 1:16. So, we are pet dogs, waiting at the table, so to speak, for the crumbs to fall down. The Jews have rejected the Lord. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And therefore, now, in grace, the salvation has come to us. So we were now grace-saved dogs. Dead dogs, to speak. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8. Mephibosheth was invited to the table. Said, I'm not worthy to be there. I'm a dead dog. But the Lord, David, in mercy, did not punish Mephibosheth for his grandfather hunting after him, but in grace invited him to the table. So there was mercy and grace shown to Mephibosheth in line with the teaching in Ephesians chapter 2 that we was God in mercy saved us by grace in Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead in trespasses and sins, chapter 2, verse 1. Because we were conceived in sin, Psalm 51, verse 5. We were doubly dead. Because, number one, we were conceived in sin. And second one, we committed sin ourselves. We inherited sin from our forefather. But we ourselves are also sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We do not deserve to be saved. But Christ died for our sins. So we are Gentile dogs, but not dogs in the bad, vicious, vile sense, but dogs as pet dogs. Hence, we are no more dogs before God. Dogs, we are told in Psalm 59, verse 6, verse 14, and verse 15, are street walkers searching for the streets for food. In the daytime, the dogs would go out and they would search for food. At night, they come back. And if they come back and they have not enough food, they would start howling loud to ask for some food, so to speak. Such is the description of sinners. Now, this is in the context of Psalm 59. Psalm 59 refers to sinners who are like dogs, going out into the streets and coming back at night and howling when they have not enough food. This is the description of sinners in Psalm 59, 5, 12, 13. But we were sinners taken off the streets. We are no more wandering in the streets. Luke 14, the Lord told us a parable of how a rich man had a dinner on and invited all those people in the highways and byways and in the streets, ask them to come. The maimed, the crippled, the blind, ask them to come. They are all invited to be at the king's table, at the master's table. That is our privilege. Today, we are Gentile dogs, so to speak, and today, we are the street walking dogs that have been taken out from there in order to feast at the table. Dogs are also scavengers. Look at the way they eat, and look at the privilege we now can eat. Let's contrast the two. They eat dead animals in the field. I told you just now in Exodus 22:31, how dead animals, the flesh of dead animals, will be thrown into the field for the dogs to eat. We eat flesh also. We have been taken out from the field, from the street, to eat at the king's table, as depicted for us in the story of Mephibosheth. The dogs eat human flesh, as in the case of Jezebel. We also have to eat the flesh of the Lord. John chapter 6, 53, 54. Except a man eat of the flesh of the Son of Man, he does not have eternal life. John 6, 53. Except a man eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, he does not have eternal life. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. What does that mean? Does that refer to the bread representing the body of Christ, to the wine representing the blood of Christ? No. Because at that time when the Lord spoke those words, the Lord's Supper had never been instituted yet. But we have got to interpret that verse in the context of John chapter 6, verse 35. Verse 35, the Lord specifically said, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, because he ate of my flesh. He that believeth on me shall never thirst, because he drinks of my blood. So, to eat of the flesh and to drink of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is to come to him and believe on him, and has no reference to the Lord's Supper. All right? So, what they eat and what we eat. So, since we are not the vicious dogs, but we are the Gentile dogs, let us not behave as the wild dogs. They are no good. Be not as dumb dogs that cannot bark. Isaiah 56 verse 10. We shall dwell on this text for quite a while. Isaiah chapter 56. Be not dumb as dogs. And they refer to the watchmen of Israel. They were not watchful. They were dumb as dogs that cannot bark. When the watchmen see the enemy comes, the watchmen must warn. The dogs must bark. But these dogs, these watchmen, do not bark. Now, it's a lesson for the worshiping Christians. Those of us who come to the Lord's Supper, we must learn how to open our mouths. We cannot be damned, the men in the congregation. We cannot be damned. We must not only be taken up with ourselves, let us be taken up with the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and not only in song, but in scripture, and also in praise with our own words, and not using other people's words. Let us worship. The Lord Jesus Christ was coming into Jerusalem in the triumphant entry, and the people at the side were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna to the Son of the Highest, Hosanna to him. And the Pharisees cried out, ask your disciples to shut them up. The Lord said, if I ask them to shut up, the stones would immediately cry out. And today, if the men feel their duty to open their mouths, remember, the time may come when even the stones, there are no stones, here they are free, but all the stones are cemented. But if there are stones that are free, they will shut up and praise the Lord. Luke 19:37 and verse 40. Be not as sleeping dogs, not only dumb but sleeping, lying down and loving to slumber. They are watchmen. How can they be lying down and they love to slumber, not being active at all? Isaiah 56 verse 10. We are warned that we should wake up. Brethren, let us wake up. It's high time for us to get up from our sleep. For the time, the night has come and the day is at hand. Let us wake up. Let us work. 1 Corinthians 12, 1558. Let us labor on, be steadfast, unmovable. Let us labor for the Lord. Be not as greedy dogs, out for gain and never having enough. That's what was said of the watchman in Isaiah 56, verse 11. Be like Paul, in whatsoever state I am, to be satisfied. Be not breaking necks of dogs when offering lamb sacrifices without spirit and sincerity. That's what I say. You bring a lamb. If you, your heart is not inside there, you are not contrite in your heart, you are just breaking the neck of dogs. And they are of no use to God and to yourself. Isaiah 66, 2 and 3. We Christians offer spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord and not dead sacrifices. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And let us therefore, whenever we stand up to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, let us remember to do so with sincerity of heart and praise. Now, very quickly, be ye a sheepdog, always on guard. This is the first time we find a dog being referred to as good. What is good? Being a sheepdog. Job chapter 30 verse 1. Job rebuked the three men who were trying to counsel and advise him. He said, you young fellas, you have no manners. You have no respect for older people. You treat me, who is older than you, just as you don't respect me at all. If you have been brought up like that, you know, the Eastern culture, if you are disrespectful, the blame is always on your ancestors. If you have been brought up like that by your ancestors, I tell you this, even your ancestors, I will not put them near my sheepdog. My sheepdog is better even than your ancestors. My sheepdog is good. What are these sheepdogs? These sheepdogs would refer to those who take care of the sheep. And in the New Testament, elders watch for our souls as sheepdogs. Acts 20:28. Paul warned the elders at Ephesus that they must take the oversight of the sheep. Why? Because false teachers will come in. So let us learn what we need to do. Especially this year is a special year for Island Grace Gospel Center. They have got three new elders. And together with the other two, we have five elders. What is their responsibility and what is our responsibility? Sheepdogs, obey and be subordinate to them. Obey them that have the rule over you, because they have to give account for them, for you all. Elders have a very serious responsibility, because they will have to give an account. And this is only spoken of elders, not deacons. Elders. Elders have got to give an account unto the Lord for what they have done and for what they have not done, because they are to account for the sheep. Elders must warn us of wolves in sheep clothing. They must be prepared. They must be well taught, because wolves will come into our midst and will steal away the sheep. Take care. Matthew 7:15, they are false teachers, who ravenous wolves come in to steal the sheep. Elders must take care. They work for the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:1-4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, the chief shepherd shall reward them. They do not work for men. They work for the chief shepherd, and they are responsible to the chief shepherd. Contrast the shepherd dog in Isaiah 56:10-11 with the shepherd dogs, the elders, in 1 Peter 5:4. Sheep dog in Isaiah, they are dumb dogs. They cannot bark. But dogs, sheep dogs, elders, are appointed by the Spirit and have His authority. They are shepherds of God's flock under their care, serving as overseers. They are appointed by God, not by man. They are appointed by the Holy Spirit, not by man. They are recognized by men. Know them that have the rule over you. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. They are recognized by men because they have done their work. They are recognized because they have been in the work of the elders. They are not appointed to the work of the elders when they are not doing the work of elders. This is the great difference. And that's why these are people responsible unto the Lord. And sometimes they may make decisions which may not be right for us, which may think are not right for us, but we have to accept them because they are responsible to the Lord. The dogs in Isaiah are sleeping dogs, lying down, loving to slumber, doing nothing much. But the dogs, the shepherd dogs in the New Testament, are alert. They work hard. They feed the flock. They take the oversight thereof. That's why they must know the scriptures. Isaiah, they are greedy dogs that can never have enough. In 1 Peter, elders are not avaricious. They are not greedy for money, but eager to serve. And that's why we find that elders in our assembly's history hardly have any money. They have no salary. They have sometimes no... They have got to come up with their own money in order to feed the flock. And we need to appreciate them for what they do and for what they are. They cannot send their children with the church's money for the children to go to learn dancing. They cannot. All right. There are shepherds that cannot understand in Isaiah. But in 1 Peter, they are accommodating. They are not lords over the sheep, but they lead the sheep and trusted to them. They are all looking to their own way, everyone for his gain, the bad shepherds. The good ones, they are agreeable. They do their work, not because they must, but because they are willing as God wants them to be. And this is the character of the good elder in the assembly. They are responsible to blind watchmen who lack knowledge, the poor elders, the bad shepherd dogs. But the good ones, they are accountable to the chief shepherd who will appear, who reward them when he appears. And so, beware of vile vomiting dogs. They are godless and gross. They are treacherous teachers who seek to ensnare others in the bondage of the law. Philippians 3:2. They are the filthy, foul followers who seek to entangle others in backtracking into lust. And that will be the dogs going to their vomit. Those who follow them are fools returning to their folly. That phrase, that expression, dogs going back to the vomit, is taken from Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11, with the verse, fools return, follow them in their folly. Conclusion. In this year, the dog, consider all things as rubbish, that you may gain Christ. Be as dogs, saved by grace, well contented in Him, walking with Him, working for Him, and worshipping Him. Be not the dog that is dead, dumb, directionless, walking the streets and scavenging for crumbs that the world offers when you can feast at the Lord's table. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. They are dangerous dogs that seek to entangle you into bondage of sin, superstition, and scare. May this be a concluding word to all of us here, elders, deacons, and members of this assembly. Take care for this year, 2018. I have said a lot of things about dogs, and there are those who love dogs, who have dogs as their pets. They may not be happy with me. Despite what is said about the dog above, let us remind ourselves that dogs are among God's creations. And those of us who keep pet dogs still need to love, care, cherish them as we would any of God's beautiful creatures. He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I have a love for dogs as well. Blessed New Year, all of you. Thank you.